Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful again to be in this place that's consecrated by prayer, by the Word of God. Your own divine blessing upon us, we're grateful for that. We thank you for your presence, Lord. It brings us such peace. We're reminded when the disciples were alone, tossed upon the sea, that the waves so boisterous that you came walking on the waters and you delivered them, Lord. Same as when the sea was so rough and you were at perfect peace sleeping, they were frighted and cried out, Master, save us. And you said, peace be still. And they were calmed down. And many people we know, Lord, think that there was a great miracle to calm the sea, but there was a bigger miracle that men's hearts were calmed. Because you spoke to them. You spoke to the elements. And we know in the last day, Joel speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, reaches out to the earth and comforts the earth and says, Earth, your destruction's over. Beasts are not going to destroy you anymore. Ride in Zion. It's all over. You're not going to have any more trouble. God, you said that hundreds of years ago. And this hour we see it all come down upon us. And I've been so glad, Lord, to know you restore the people. You're getting ready to restore a portion of the earth and not all the earth for us. Restoring the birds and the animals. Oh, God, right back to Eden. The more we give you preeminence, the quicker we're going to get there. God, do anything you want to do with these vessels to get preeminence. We can take it somehow, Lord. It's not that in ourselves we feel we can, but God, we know there's got to be grace for somebody. But the prophet said, if we're not bright, there's a bride out there somewhere. Won't stand in your way, and we believe tonight, Lord, by the grace of God, it's by your own love, by everything, Lord, that you do and nothing we're doing at all, that we stand in that same place tonight with faith in you, Lord. And we're grateful you've given us this faith. We're grateful it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because it's his own revelation, greater than anything anybody ever envisioned, greater than any book ever written. It's a new phase. It's a new wonder. And we're in it, Lord, and we thank you for it. We can't praise you enough. Oh, how we thank you somehow. And if, no, it's not sufficient, Lord. If the whole earth was filled with your glory, it wouldn't be sufficient if we were giving it, but Father, we're going to trust you to do it. For somehow together, it's going to be there. We believe it is tonight. And we thank you for all we need. Everything's here in divine order and divine place. It's in the consummation. So help us tonight with the study of your word, Lord. We know you got to do it because we can't do it ourselves. Hardly prepared for such a vast subject. That you're not prepared at all, really. So much involved. But Lord, you can help us with the simplicity that's needed to bring out the great things. And one little drop of water with the sun shining on it can be a prism to bring such beautiful rainbow effects, Lord. Hallelujah. There's enough of us here, we believe. Enough of election here. Enough of ministry to help and bring it out, Lord. Forgive us for our slothfulness and all the things we've indulged in which just are not right. We're not trying to get your grace, Lord, and make a disgrace. We've already done that. We want to make it real grace and honor you. So we commend ourselves to you in this hour of study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to read in 1 Corinthians 11:29, where we were this morning. Just the one verse. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, we went into some subject matter this morning and recognized that the amount of material that tried to be covered, we barely scratched the surface, mentioning certain things, such as taking communion in a wrong way or unworthy manner, because that's what it does say.
And that would refer to the actual partaking and doing, and then the people themselves are involved. It brought defilement, and defilement brought judgment, sin and death within the body of believers in Corinth. If there was a history written, but there isn't, something contingent or contemporary with what we see here in the times of Paul, I think the commentary would be most devastating. It was truly a sick, sick church and a sick people, but it didn't need to be that way. With it, we learned that the disobedient did not escape by refusing to partake, for it is commanded by God that they must partake. So in refusing to partake, they are not justified, but equally condemned to sickness or death. Now, that's exactly the way it is. I've known too many people over the years who say, well, I just won't partake. You haven't solved a thing. You have compounded your problems. See? Because you're disobedient. You won't show his death till he comes. What kind of a person that believes in the death of Jesus refuses it? I think you'd be better off to participate knowing you're wrong than leaving it. You might not think so, that you're privileged. But if I were weighing the two, I would sort of be very careful there. Perhaps I've said many people get involved. I've seen where preachers get involved. And then the table has refused the people. Can you imagine a preacher leading his people into sin and condemning them? Well, you say, I can't. Well, I can. I've seen it happen. That's why deacons have order. If Levi stumbles or something, they will carry on the table of the Lord. The order is set in the church. What's it got to do with me? What's it got to do with you? Who do you think you are and who do I think I am? Are we running God? Good news for you. In no way. So in refusal, they're not justified. Not only not justified, in no way are they liberated. But they're more in chains than ever. Equally condemned to sickness and death and condemning others. They are still purveyors of destruction in the church. This great ordinance is the way that God enforces his demands upon us. Sure. It's the way he enforces his demands, because you can't escape. Now, a lot of people can commit sin in the world out here and they can escape. Understand one reason Brother Branham did not believe in capital punishment was because he always saw the poor man was hanged by the neck until he was dead, or gassed until he was dead,
Amen, right.
Or fried electrically until he was dead. But the rich man had no trouble. Let them be a Leopold and Loeb, if you're old enough to remember them. Two Harvard graduates who wanted to experiment. So they brutally murdered a young child because their parents were rich, rich, rich. It was no problem. They got set aside in nice, cozy jails. Of course, we must not let them out. But we can pamper them. God doesn't act that way.
Amen.
I got news for you. The judge of all the earth shall do right.
Amen.
And he shall be right, R-I-G-H-T, with his right, R-I-G-H-T, word, which he, not W-R-I-T-E, but W-R-O-T-E, wrote. That's true. The great ordinance is the way God enforces his demands on us. It is very good. You know, I'm glad God beat my ears around. Ooh, she was tough. Contemplating suicide, I tried to figure everything out to leave the wife and kids just the money so that nobody could catch on. I had bumped myself off. One thought I had was to be on a rickety bus with the BC Electric drove, and I was part of their railway street system at that time. And I had to kind of figure out how I could just bump myself against the door that was partly open and fall under the wheels. And that would be nice. I thought of other ways too that I could get rid of myself. But you know, His grace was sufficient. He whipped the stuffings out of me. After dying with TB of the pituitary gland, I said, Lord, it's enough. And it was. Isn't that nice? The Bible tells us that we discipline our children because we get angry. They sort of bug us. We don't bug God. You know that? Years ago, a man said to me, he said, you know, Brother Vail, I don't believe I pray to God because He's got enough trouble of His own. I said, what are you talking about? God doesn't have any troubles. That's why He wants your troubles. He doesn't have questions. That's why He wants to answer yours. Why, if He had questions, what would be the use? You say, God has questions about me. Hogwash. He'll get you there if you've got to fry your hide. He'll blister you if necessary. He said so. That's mercy and grace. Now, I talk as an authority from experience, and I hope you do too. We acknowledge His grace. We certainly do. For it is grace that causes His goodness to supersede all else in our lives. But that is only a part of this subject, for it says that the lack of discerning the Lord's body also is a basis in these judgments. Now, we saw conduct was important. That's true. Nobody can deny that. Look. Let's say we have fairly nice homes. And we're trying to rear our children to be good citizens and compliments to us, which is the only thing. It's the right thing that they should be. And don't you know now that there's a kid down the street and he's throwing bricks at the lights and very successfully knocking them out. He has a powerful right arm, which, oh, anybody knows he's going to be a big baseball hurler. And those rocks go through windows, just like that. And his knife is accurate. He can slash tires. And to everybody's horror and disgust, here this kid going down the street, breaking out lights and breaking out windows, slashing tires, and they can't quite tell who he is because it's quite dark out there. And suddenly he turns into the door of this very respected, refined, and noble citizen, and the citizen goes, "Oh, my boy." That's the table of God. A born-again Christian does certain things and he doesn't do certain other things. And the respected citizen would have to reprimand his child, and God is a very respected citizen.
Yes. Amen.
In fact, He is the citizen. So He chastises us. There must be a light. But there is also a lack of discerning the Lord's body that brings a condemnation within the church. So we ask the question, what is the Lord's body? In this case, it cannot be the body broken and commemorated by the emblems in verse 24. Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. That's not so, see. For then verse 29 must mention verse 25 also. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, then over here, it says here, he took the cup and said, this is the blood of the covenant of the New Testament. And he said, now, this do in remembrance of me. Now, you see, he doesn't mention blood in verse 29. He just mentions body. So, you see, the subject is changing in respect to conditions laid down. Now, here's a condition that says, if you do not discern the Lord's body, you have equal problems. Now, this message is going to be a little tough. First of all, I've got 13 or 14 points, which each should take a sermon. And I must warn you, by the time we're finished, we may be in trouble. But that's all right. Now, categorically, the Lord's body is the bride. Brother Branham said so. The body is the Lord's body is the bride. And many go off. Many go on? Many go on. Somebody that's off has left a certain path. It says they don't go with it. That's true. See, they don't know how to believe themselves. And live any kind of life and take communion of things, that's not right. All right? In here, he says about the Lord's body, where there was a problem, it was believing, living, taking. That's how he put it in that order. That's what Eve did. See, she didn't believe something, and when she didn't believe something, it changed her living. See? And then when that happened, she got into the position there where she began taking up things that weren't right. No way. Now, I want to read a few more things here, just sketchy out of what Brother Branham said on page 8, paragraph 2, 3. I had some other notes, but I leave them and not read them. He says here, I wonder sometimes if we can discern right from wrong for our own bodies, especially the Lord's body. Now, everything we took this morning was very clear cut. There wasn't a question in it, really. We don't discern right from wrong from our own body. Day after day, and week after week, month after month, year after year, scientists work in the laboratories and set great big pictures out and everything, advertising warns the people cancer by the carton. Men, 270-something thousand Americans will die this year from smoking cigarettes, and you smoke right on. We can't even discern our own bodies, let alone discerning the Holy Spirit and in the body of the Lord. You see that article the other day that this scientist produced all his research. Not only cigarettes does it give you cancer, but you've got 50% more chance of taking anything else on. Now, that's the truth. All right? One paragraph here in page 10, discerning the Lord's body. We can't discern by what people think, what intellectuals tell us, what psychologists tell us. We've got to go by what God says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not discerning the Lord's body, many are sick and weakly. Many are asleep, dead, spiritually dead. Notice? The last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague hit the church is spiritual death. How are they going to take communion? What we need today is a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening to discernment. So that's why you're dying. That's why you're sick. Another little paragraph here. Did not Jesus say to the church in his day, you can discern the face of the skies, but the signs of the times you cannot discern? For if you would have known me, you would have known my day. Amen. The hour of deliverance of the church, and they can't discern it. Now that's the vein that the prophet goes in for many, many pages. Now the last quote he quoted concerning the times, and he drew a parallel between discerning the face of the heavens, pardon me, is found in Matthew 16:3 and Luke 12:56. So we want to go back to Luke, pardon me, Matthew 16, and we'll just read those few verses, two or three. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In other words, it's a question. How can you discern it and then turn around and not discern this? A wicked adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign to be given it. Now, Matthew 16:1, they gave a sign. They said, give us a sign, and they were tempting him. Now, that's absolutely the same as over here in the 4th chapter of Matthew. And the first 3 verses, then Jesus led the Spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered. And when the tempter came, now notice he's tempting. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now he laid out a temptation, which temptation was on the idea, I want you to absolutely prove that you are the Son of God. See? Now the Pharisees wanted a sign of their choosing, the same as Satan did. Now he said, I want the sign that you produced what I want. Now he said, if you're the Son of God, command those stones be made bread. And Jesus said, no way. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and so on. Let's go over here to the book of Luke, chapter 12. And in here, 54 to 57. And he also said to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, so it is. That's right, I agree. When you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it comes to pass, sure. Blows off the desert, I guess. One blows off the water. You hypocrites. And Brother Brand said these were hypocrites that were taking the Lord's Supper. I just said what he said. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. And how is it you do not discern this time? What time? When he was there.
Yeah, right. Right. Amen.
I didn't write the book. I'm just talking about it.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Why don't you discern this time? Yea, and why even of your own selves judge ye not what is right? Well, he said, you call a conference for everything. How come you don't call a conference for this? Nicodemus came by one time, having come to Jesus by night, and he said, our law doesn't condemn a man to eternal. And they said, oh, shut up. Are you one of those followers? Search and see. No prophet comes out of Galilee. You talk about spiritual numbskulls. He didn't bother looking at the evidence. He did not come out of Galilee. He only lived there. He came out of Bethlehem.
Amen.
Why didn't they go to the history books? You think they hadn't had a confrontation of some sort or some privilege of seeing those three wise men? And didn't they know what followed the three wise men, the slaying of the innocent? And they simply stand back, and Bethlehem means nothing. And the wise men inquired of those authorities, and they said, where is this king to come from? Why, they said, it's Bethlehem. And now suddenly he goes, whoo! Suddenly lost the memory. You seen people like that? Don't ask that question. I know too many. Okay? Now let's look at what's being said, if we can do it. I don't know if I'm any good or not. Discern. The word discern is the same word to judge. A discerner is a judge. Before he's a judge, he's a prophet. Who stood here discerning when the prophet was the voice? Prophet, judge. Okay. First Corinthians 11 and 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now the first word there is discern, but the other is different. So you're going to say, now if you be judged, judge yourself, you begin discerning. Which is to judge between. Alright, discern is to judge between. To discern is to signify, to separate, discriminate, and learn by discriminating. How long does it take people to wake up as to who's bride and who isn't bride?
Amen.
How long does it take people to realize if it's the word, it's the word. If it's not the word, it's not the word.
Amen.
Yeah, you say now, I don't know that that should take place. Well, I do know that it should take place. We're not fooling. I've had brothers come to me over the years. They said, Lee, I never could understand it. But one day I found out that you didn't worry about what went on, big, little, or anything. You always stuck to the word and judged by the word. And I hope that's true. I don't know. Okay. Comes the time. So we put it together, hopefully. For centuries, the observing people saw that a red sky at night meant good weather. Red sky, good day. Maybe some evenings were overcast. They'd say, well, let's wait till morning. That's good thinking, see. Upon arising, it was a red sky and lowering. And over the centuries, that meant a foul day. So over the period of time, they learned from nature how to separate, to differentiate. And in differentiation, they knew what the thing was. A judging between. Now, you understand what I'm saying? He said, look, you people, you know how to discern the skies over a period of time. You learned what is, how it goes. How many years did we have William Branham the prophet? Since 1933 to 1965, and for 18 solid years we haven't had him. From 1933 to 1965. You say, well, Brother Bailey didn't do too much in there. Trace the records and find out what was done and said. Well, you say, we began to know more about him in 1958 and so on. All right, and you'll see the record was always the same. Something was consistent. Principle after principle was consistent. Somebody should have learned something. Christ stood there. Principle after principle, consistent. Somebody should have learned something, but they didn't. And finally they said, well, this fellow's the devil. You know that? One day, Jesus cast out a devil. And the people said, this has to be the Son of God. This has to be God. This has got to be God. And the Pharisees said, no way. Why, he said, but by the prince of the devil, Beelzebub, he does it. Now, you show me in history when that was done. Jesus said their own sons were doing it. Then if they, the nation under God, their sons were doing it, and Jesus did it bigger and better, then he was the son. And they said, oh, far be it, this has got to be the other one. Yeah. Jesus stood there, and they said, is not this the son of David? And they said, by no means, this is the other one. And Brother Branham stood, and people said, is this not Elijah? And they said, no, he is the other one. Well, how come he's not here incarnated and doing the devil's job then? Because that would be the other one, Antichrist. Fat. Blind leaders of the blind. Willfully blind. Discerning the skies. Putting satellites up there. Going to the moon. They did in Brother Branham's day. Couldn't stand back and know by the word of God. Don't tell me they can't. Because they can. Jesus said, you can pick out the signs that tell bad weather and then make a decision. You can pick out the signs that tell good weather and predict it. But listen, not one of you can make the weather. But you can't stand back and watch it. You can learn the ropes. You can learn the secrets. You can learn how it goes. He said, why do you do the same thing spiritually? You can discern and see that which is going on is of God. He said, you know it. He said, you know it. He said, it falls right with the prophets. Why don't you get your facts lined up and you can tell exactly who I am, just the same as lining up the facts by observing and knowing the weather. You can know the things of God for your day. Now, you can't know them by physical things out there, only in types. But all nature runs in continuity and so does humanity. Bless God, it's never failed. God comes on the scene, man repudiates it. God comes on the scene, he does something, man believes it. If they're the right ones. God leads them out, does something for them, and pretty soon it begins to fall flat like organization and so on. It's all gone. Man can study spiritual history and know what's going on. Man can study the Bible and know what's going on. But man doesn't. Now listen, let's get this back. Jesus said, if you can do the one, you can do the other. And Brother Branham said, we are intelligent. Touché. You can know the things of God for your day. Search the Scripture. There is where the centuries of truth are. They will testify of me, and the facts of Scripture will tell you who I am, if I am Messiah or not. Now listen. What if the people in that day had manufactured their own ideas as to what would produce the weather, or indicate it? They could have said a rainbowed evening shows there's good weather ahead. So somebody saw a rainbowed evening, and next day a storm. They say, hey, that's out. That won't work. It wasn't consistent. You see? Now listen, you know what I'm saying, that Brother Branham always literally harped on continuity. And I am harping on continuity. Because Jesus harped on continuity.
Amen.
I use the word harp. The derogatory, but I did it on purpose. And I'll tell you why. Because most people thought it was harping or carping. Instead of teaching. They got a little bored with it. I think they got bored with Jesus one day
in a miracle, producing fishes and bread, and the next day whipping them out of the temple. I think they got a little bit bored and tired with him reaching out his hand to a poor prostitute and say, "I don't condemn you," and said to the Pharisee, "You louse."
Amen. Right. Amen.
Oh, he's nice. I love him. He's my kind of a man. I wish I was like him. Brother, sister, you got admiring.
Amen.
There's no way you can't indulge your love attitudes toward him. You've got to, because he's wonderful. He was always true to a pattern. They hated him. All right? It wouldn't work if they said this is something and it wasn't the principle of nature. So Messiah was already in the Bible by the prophets, who he was, what he was, what he would do. If they had known the signs of the hour, they would not have crucified. And the Bible said if the princes had known who he was, they would not have crucified. Now, the reason they didn't know who he was, not simply because they lacked the revelation, but simply they wouldn't go and look at the revelation. Now, you know they didn't, because I quoted how they wouldn't. Nicodemus says, "Our law does not condemn a man," and they sneered and said, "Are you one of those birds too? Don't you know no prophet comes out of Galilee?" And you know what poor Nicodemus did? He sat there like a boob and took it. The wheel should have begun to spun because they spun when he saw him. He said, "You've got to be somebody come from God. You've got to be somebody. Simply, you've got to be somebody. You are somebody." So Jesus said, "You must be born again." What did you say?
Amen.
How can a man be born the second time? Can he enter his mother's womb? And Jesus said, "Listen, are you a master who's known that?" And don't know that. And you know what the secret behind it was? Wesley tells us by his research of history. When you were as a Gentile, wanted to become, by the grace of God, inducted into the tribes of Israel, you were baptized dead and came up alive. Water. Now, water doesn't save you. He said, "You got to be born again." Nicodemus should have known. There was everything conspiring to show Nicodemus the truth. And yet when the Pharisees turned on him and said, "Are you one of those birds too?" It right at his fingertips were the processes of discerning, because he knew the sides of the coin. But he blindly turned aside. He didn't make any defense. You know, that fellow should have said, "Hey, ha ha. The cogs are turning. I will look into Scripture and find out just where he did come from, because, you know, people do migrate." Now, why do you think of that? Why didn't you think of that? You go to a town where your old friend was, and you begin looking. They say, "Well, he doesn't live here anymore." What do you think? "Aha, I bet he went someplace else. Now, I'll go to the post office, and I'll trace it down." Why didn't Nicodemus do it?
Right. Amen.
Now he had these fingertips of things he could work with. See? He had these fingertips. This is why God can have a judgment and make a stick. See? Now, but they couldn't make a judgment that was right, because their experiences and observations were apart from the Word and were from the Talmud and the councils, not the Torah, so they missed him. And Jesus said, "If you knew Moses, you'd know me." How in the world could they know Moses except by the writings of Moses?
Right. Amen.
And yet there were one or two that came and said, "Are you that prophet?" Yeah. They even came to John. "Are you that prophet?" Now, where they got that he could have been that Isaiah or somebody, or Jeremiah, is more than I know. Because I don't think they believed in reincarnation, or whatever it is it takes to get to that place. So they missed him. They weren't familiar with the earmarks of the hour. Oh, you say, "Just a minute now. What hour are you talking about?" I'm talking about the hour they were talking about. Messiah. They never ceased to look for him. They're looking for him now. But now they got him reduced to a spirit. They've had it that way for years. Now, here's the expanded version. "And having come, the Pharisees and Sadducees, putting him to the test, demanded that he furnish them for their observation and a testing miracle, having his source in heaven to prove who he was." But he answering said to them, "Evening having come, you are accustomed to say, 'Fair weather, for the sky is reddening,' And in the morning, today, stormy, for the sky is reddening and is becoming covered with clouds. You possess indeed an understanding based upon experience to pass a discerning judgment, a discriminatory judgment rather, upon the face of the sky. But on the other hand, with a reference to the attesting miracle of the epochal strategic period of time, you are not able to pass a discriminating judgment? Now look, he must have been talking to those who were able to do it, or they would not have been put on the spot. Now look, God is not unjust, brother, sister. You've got to understand that. Now he said, you can make a discriminatory or discriminating judgment based upon what you know to be experience. Now, they had the Old Testament incomplete. They knew that God didn't do anything except he talked to prophets first. And John was a prophet. He said, you rejoiced for a scene in his life. You knew something was going on. You had the attestation to it. But he said, you would not follow it through. Why? He said, I'll tell you what you follow through. You look at the sky and you say, oh, nice and red, beautiful gold colors and pink colors. Lovely, complete, lovely, lovely sunset. Beautiful day tomorrow. So you say, Hannah, pack the basket. Never mind the weather. It's going to be great. We're going to have a picnic. We're going to go out there on the lake and we're going to fish. It's going to be a ball. And sure enough, it is. No, he said, the Word of God better than that. Now, they had the Bible. They didn't do a thing about it, see? Now, they could have come to a place of discrimination, which would be a righteous judgment. Now, I wonder if I'm right in pondering whether Jesus might be saying, have you any idea as to the real characteristic of Messiah so that you can place him, or do you have some thoughts of your own and that's all, and now you want some great attesting miracle as though if a great thing were done, then you could place it. Now, keep everything in mind. I'm talking about a bride. See? Now, if you're looking for some great miracle, you're looking for some great sign, let's go to Acts 24 and 3. I'm sorry, Matthew 24 and 3. What should be the sign of thy presence? Should be some kind of a sign. Okay, Matthew 24 and 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. The same thing. And show great signs and wonders, insomuch were possible they shall deceive the very elect. So the attesting miracle is not it. Because everybody's doing it. See? But if you know Matthew 24 and 27, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. That is the attesting miracle. And it's not a miracle. It's a revelation. It's a word. Now where do you stand today? Charismatics out there, we bypass the charismatics, the life has gone out of it. Why do our people right today in the churches insist on gifts in the pews and every place else? The very man that fights the presence of most is in Western Canada. And he makes no bones about it. He wants gifts on the floor and he's plagued because they're not there. God is more merciful than that man understands or ever will. You say, now, Brother Vail, hold it. You hold it yourself. I'm discriminating. Amen. And I'll prove you. Because I'm tired of this love, 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 which is hogwash, full of the devil. Pull up Moses by the hair he's got left and say, Moses, you stupid idiot, you jerk, you jackass. You could have gone to Egypt and said, Pharaoh, lover, bless God, I'm here with a message of grace. I want to see you saved, my dear brother. I don't say that about these men that run down the Persia. I'm just saying, you better get your wires straight, my brother, my sister. You don't, and I'm not referring to anybody now, I'm referring to the fact of the Scripture. You don't call clean what God has called unclean, and you don't call unclean what God has called clean. Why do you do it? And justify yourself by some creepy thing out of the ewes. Those who do not know Matthew 24 and 27 will crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, period.
Amen.
You think I preach tough? I'm not preaching tough at all. So I ask the question now with what I brought to your attention. What about the body? You're supposed to discern who's bride. Not pick the individuals out, but what is contingent, characteristic, and apart. His bride, his body. Or I could say, what are the earmarks? Now, are we going by our own ideas or by the Word? Now, that's a good question. That's what Israel did.
Amen.
They didn't care two bits about the Word. Like was said by somebody many, many years ago and said truth. When they went into captivity, they went in with the priesthood and a Torah and a temple, and they came back with a synagogue and a rabbinical order and a Talmud. And the church, leaving Christ, got a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false word, just like Israel. Abomination from hell. Then people wonder why Brother Branham screamed. Like one man who's dead now in Canada, and he's Irish, and I love the man, dearly loved him, and his wife, I love her, beautiful woman in my books. She was more tender by far than he. And he said, oh, he said, Brother Baird, he said, Branham's ranting and raving. He said, I can't stand it. Wonder what he's standing now. He's dead. What about a man from South Africa that said Brother Branham died in a car wreck because he was drunken? What about this woman in Jeffersonville who said, I could name her name, and said that Brother Branham was a whoremonger? Kind of shocks you, doesn't it? That ain't half bad. What are we saying?
Amen. Right.
How close are we? That's a question. I don't know. Now, if you heard the message this morning, you might answer and say, well, I'll tell you what. If you want to discern, it's a light. That's what it is. It's a light. The life you live. I got news for you. You're wrong. That's only one point about 15. That's right. Now, you say, I don't think I agree with you, Brother Bale. That's fine. You don't have to. Let's just find out whether you should agree or not. Matthew 7. And verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Everything on the outside, there's nothing to tell you what they are, because they're beautiful, they're sympathetic, they're wonderful, they got gifts, they got everything. They're perfect, beautiful Christians on the outside, and they're hell-bound sinners on the inside out to get you. Because they're ministers of Satan, they're false prophets. And a false prophet can produce everything but the Word. Now, if you've got everything but the Word, my brother, sister, you've got just about everything, haven't you? You've got nothing, because everything comes by the Word. All things made by the Word, and all things maintained by the Word. And if you haven't got the Word, you've got nothing, nothing, nothing.
Amen.
You lose everything you do have. Because if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness? See? That's what he said. Now, so it's not just character. Not just fruit, not just obedience, not just gifts, not just nearness to God. We reckon all of those things. They're there. That's absolutely true, but that's not all of it. That's simply conduct. What's conduct, my brother and my sister, without faith? Kind old priest.
Amen.
See? I got nothing against kind old priests. They're very nice. They make wonderful babysitters. When you come to the time of Melchizedek, though, who needs a babysitter? Now, according to discerning of the Lord's body, I've come across at least 13 or 14 other bridal elements or bride elements that lie in her consciousness and form her as to her true character beyond the simple principle babysitter. Now, according to discerning of the Lord's body, I've come across at least 13 or 14 other bridal elements or bride elements that lie in her consciousness and form her as to her true character beyond the simple principle of conduct, which you must never discard. Because as I said before, if there ever was an hour for fruit, it ought to be this hour. Every character ought to be this character. Because Brother Branham said, and he categorically said, it takes a bad woman to show up a good one. In other words, it takes a bad one to really make a good one come out. It takes darkness to really show light. You see, like you put a diamond on the black velvet, right? Okay. Well, all right, we've got all this sin out here, and that should make us shine all the more. Not by the fact that they sin 98 times out of 60 seconds, and we only sin 48 times. No. No, we shouldn't be at all.
Not that we won't have trouble. Brother Brown said we backslide 1,000 times a day. We sin 1,000 times a day. No perfection this side of the resurrection. But we should have everything. And you know that I teach it. We should pray. We should do all these things. I have never gone by them. And you can have gifts if you put them in order. And if anybody here will put a little building somewhere, a little room, I'll go in the room with you. I'm not afraid. Look, I don't fight these things. They say I do, but they're liars. They're right on tape. Thousands have heard it. But they still want to lie. Well, I'm not lying. I tell you right now, if you give a little room, I will go in there. I'm not afraid. I don't know what will happen. I'm not going to try to make it happen. But I'm not worried. I'll tell you not. No, I'm not worried because I prophesied many times right on the button. It may never do it again. Brother Brand said it might never happen again. Well, praise the Lord. I'm ready for that too. But that won't be my excuse because I'll be there waiting. Just like the fellow said, he couldn't crack his knuckles. He said, I can crack my knuckles anytime I want to. I said, dude, what? He said, I don't feel like doing it. I don't pull that kind of stuff. That's as bad as Lloyd told on me, tried to pull me. He said, you want to see my fast draw? Then he said, you want to see it again? So much for gifts like that, Lloyd. But brother, we're not in rabbits in joking and foolish things. That's out here. I believe what I preach concerning this because I take it from the prophet. Now listen, here's what the prophet said, number one. She recognizes the true servants of God. I want to ask you who serves God. That's a good question. Now, as far as I know the prophet taught, the only person that could possibly serve God is the one that's in the will of God. It's in the Word of God. Now, we go back to the time of Cain. Cain made a sacrifice. He got it out of the Bible, but he got it out of time. It wasn't in proper chronology. He was not a true one. We go back to the time of Balaam. He positively prophesied. People fell for him lock, stock, and barrel. When it came to Moses, the true servant of God, they turned on him. Isn't it funny? Go back to Balaam and Moses. Everybody said, oh, great Balaam, oh, great Balaam. And the people of Israel, even they turned on Moses. One day Moses stood up. That's after he said, God said, look, take a stand aside there, Moses, and I'll make a new race of people. I'll make them out of you. And Moses said, no. He said, you'll take me too if you take them. And God said, okay, I'll listen to you. I'll meet him down the road. And he did. Amen. He met him down the road. Don't think the judgments of God are not severe and just, even though he postpones them. The word of God will not be deceived. It will not be taken away by anybody. And so then Moses one day was confronted by these men who would not recognize the true servant of God. Well, they said, listen here. I've got just as much on the ball as he has. I can prophesy. Who do you think you are, Moses, taking some authority? In other words, authority rose up against authority. Or put it this way, authority rose up against the authority. And Moses, and that's when Moses really got on his high horse. And he didn't say this time, Lord, if you deal with them, you deal with me. He said, Lord, if these men die the death common to men, you have not called me. And God said, step aside.
Amen.
How many people have just too much fun denying the true servants of Almighty God, those that stay with the Word?
Amen.
Now it's okay if you go back to Pentecost. See, why are lies told consistently about men who try to stay with the Word? These lies consistent are fabrications that they know that they make up.
Right.
And no liar will cross into the pearly gates.
Amen.
Not because I said, I'm not judging you, I'm telling you what the earmarks are. Brother Branham said she recognizes the true servants of God. In other words, there will be no bride, not one member who doesn't recognize William Branham, who he is and exactly what he is.
Yes.
And the same man pulled his challenge. I heard it and I got it on a tape. I wish I knew what tape. Maybe you can tell me because I always forget. And I always make notes and I always lose the notes. And I always make a pad where I put my notes and I lose the pad. But there are people here that know I'm telling the truth. That Brother Branham said categorically, if you only know who I am or knew who I was, you'd all be healed. That's right, he said it. Where'd that quote come from? Do you remember? Well, find it. You can find anything. Don't blame me. I never remember where I put it. I'm honest with you. I don't remember where I put it. He said that down in West Palm Beach. My wife caught it. And she said, it's on a tape. That's the tape we couldn't find. He preached 5 sermons, and there's only 4. I believe he preached 6 sermons, and 1 is lost. But we found it. If you only knew who I was, he said, you would all be healed. And stand there one time and say, I guarantee healing for 24, 25. He said, I guarantee it. And people say, well, he's the other one. He's Antichrist. See? Just like Brother Branham said, now Caiaphas said, I'll tell you what, if he was that great one, he'd come on down here and say, oh, great Caiaphas, I'm identified with you. And the UPC said the same thing in America. Why, they said, if William Branham was that prophet, he'd have come to us. Why go to them for Pete's sake?
Amen.
Why would he come to me? Why would he come to you? I'm going to tell you something, he came for a bride. He sure did. And the bride will always recognize. I tell the folk time and time again. Brother Osborne, fine man of God, nothing against him. I appreciate the fact that he stands with the word. He's the one man that does the best he knows how. But when he was over there in, I guess Spokane, the time that man devil-possessed came in the room, and he strode on the platform, he beat every preacher down and broke every meeting up. He was a demoniac. And a maniac. Maniac's the guy without a devil, this guy had a devil. So he's a demoniac. And he came up there, and everybody ran, got scared. And little Brother Brown, little, you know, he looked like a peanut alongside this fella. Like a peanut alongside of a coconut. Everybody scattered. And Brother Brown stood there. And this man hissing and spitting and calling Brother Brown a faker and a phony and everything else. And Brother Brown said, because Satan, because you challenge the servant of the Most High God, I command you to fall at my feet. And he ran for cops. And the fellow looked glazed. He began to start. And then they say he wove back and forth like a snake and fell right on Brother Brown's feet. And they had to pull him off. And this brother sitting there said, a voice within him spoke and said, this is the way it's done in the Bible. This is the way you can do it. I don't deny that voice said that. When I saw Brother Branham that one night in Canada, 1947, and he made the challenge, I challenge you, bring me 24 or 25, your worst case, I forget which. I'll heal them all. Something inside of me said, this is the man to listen to if you listen to anybody. Quite a difference. You say, now, Brother Bailey, you're pinning roses on yourself. Why not? If I qualify, what's the big deal? If I am bride and say I'm not, I become a liar like those out there. Now, you might not like this kind of preaching, but look, I got no problems. I'm satisfied that I can stand with the apostles. I don't know anything else to look to. And if this is it and I'm looking to it, I've got it made. Now he said here they don't recognize the true servants of God. What is a true servant? He's got earmarks. He's not a wolf in sheep clothing. No, because he stays with the word. See? I don't care about his programs. Where is this bit about raising money for a program? Big missionary effort. I'm going to tell you something. Woody Allen, and I guess he's a real wit. I've never seen him in the movie, but I have read articles on him, and he just must be a flame, a ball of fire of humor. So I read an article, and they were asking him about certain people. And when it came to Jesus Christ, you know what he said? He was an underachiever. He hit it right on the head. Because the Pharisees came and they said, we want you to really achieve. And when you achieve, you'll do it our way. We'll tell you, and you will do it, and that'll be it. That's wrong. If Jesus Christ was God, how come he didn't empty graveyards? If he was God, how come he didn't create? Wasn't his purpose at that time. But you see, people get food. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham was an underachiever, according to the world. And they said, oh, this man, look at him. He can't be the true servant, because look at Brother so-and-so. He's got a tent 10 times bigger. Now, Brother Branham got hurt about that. I'll never get through preaching, so forget it. I'll just name it after a while. We were up in Portland, Maine, 1958. We sat in the room, and we turned on Oral Roberts. Oh, the crowd was there. It was a beautiful crowd, a lovely crowd. Oh, massive. And Brother Branham looked at it, and tears began to roll down his face. He turned to me weeping, and he said, Lee, I could have those crowds, but God doesn't want me to have them. It cost him something. Let me tell you, every true servant will go away that cost him something. Where he could have come forward and got up on the step where men would say, Hail, Great One, like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. We'll talk about them later if we ever get around to it. That's discerning too. Oh, yes, my brother. Oh, yes, bride. Oh, yes, bride, you that call yourself bride. Huh?
Amen.
You still got your umbilical cord turned to Springfield, Missouri, haven't you? I said your umbilical cord is still tied in Springfield, Missouri. Assembly of God pipeline. You're too nice. The prophet wasn't. Yeah. I'll stand with him. You want elevation. It cost him something. I was there in his home one day. He'd been talking to his wife. There was crack in the hardwood where the man had gypped him. Brother Branham came home with a $25,000 offering out of Canada to build a house because he had no house. And he just gave a man the money. And he said, here, build me a house. And when Branham Woods tore the porch apart, here was made up, not 2x4s, but 1x4s. The man was gypped. What about 1950, 1949, 1947 perhaps, when a house for $25,000, a house and lot at $25,000 in 1947 would be a mansion. Little old wood box, cruddy. And now the cracks in the floor. And he told his wife, and he told me what he told her. He said, see, dear, he said, if I stole my gift, we wouldn't have these cracks. We'd have a rug on the floor. And when I heard him say that, I said, ha-ha. Lightning struck, and I said, I got a friend who has a factory, and he gets these things wholesale, and he loves Brother Branham, too. So I'll talk to him, and he'll talk to the banker, and he'll get the rug. And so he brought the rug, and the man came and measured the floor, and Brother Branham got excited. He got his, what will it cost? He said, I'm going to cost you nothing. He said, I'm going to put it on your floor. Now, here's a man that could have had a huge palace. Here's a true servant to God. Men selling everything for millions. They tell me, oh, Brother Osborne sold out in Tulsa. What did his place go for? Who remembers? $8 million or so, or $10 million. I don't know. It was 2 million years ago. What does a man want with $2 million? And then want money for missionaries. What do you tell me? Bride recognizes true servants. Yeah. Oh, but some of you still got glamour in your eyes. My wife sat beside a woman years ago in a Branham meeting. Maybe Brother Branham was gone. I can't remember. And she was fondling this letter from somebody who had just written that he had expended everything he had and now wanted money. And she said, you know, I think I should send him some money. And the guy's a deceiver. Sends out gold-plated nails and anointed pocketbooks. I'm not lying. I'm not kidding. I'm trying to make you laugh and tell you the truth. The bride has discernment. She's seen where it's gone. It's gone to Rome. Your money's going to drown with you. And that old Simon the sorcerer tried to buy a gift, buy a ministry. Oh, you can do that if you got the. That's what happened in Rome. They sold the ministries to the wicked guys that had the money. That's why the mafia controls the unions and controls the government. I'd like to preach on stewardship sometime and just show you where it's going. I know what I'm talking about. Don't worry. I wouldn't talk. True servants of God. Not the kind old priest, but the woman at the well.
Amen.
Yeah. That slutty figure down there. Well, she ain't worth bothering with. She recognized right away. She didn't have a lot of false and mocking theology all in her head, wondering. She saw that was it. When Brother Branham first came our way. The news was in the paper. My wife read it. And she said, here's a man up there in Penticton or somewhere. I forget. Maybe Revelstoke. Who knows? Penticton, that'd be what. British Columbia. And she said, this man is telling people their diseases and praying and getting healing. And I said to her, and I wasn't blaspheming. I simply said, well, I said, I don't know the ministry because I've seen spiritists do it. I didn't say he's a spiritist. I said, I saw spiritists do it. And when I saw him, I knew he was no spiritist. The next few days I saw him, and I said, that's a man to listen to. I got news for spirits. They don't like me, and I don't like them. I mean, they do like me and try to get at me, but I don't like them. No, they don't like me because they try to get at me. Boy, I've got no true servant to God if I don't get that right. You can tell I'm in league with the wrong forces. See? All right. I didn't say there's a devil. That fellow's like this great man in spiritism that I saw years ago as a kid who could discern. You know, that's a false gift, like, see? False discernment. And tell things, see? But that's gone. That's when I knew my backsliding days were over. My good times are getting away from the pulpit. My good times are not worrying about people and their problems. My good times are not having to pay a price. Oh, I'm paying the biggest price ever, though. So I said I bought a Bible. Now I took my Bible out, dusted off, and then let it get dust again. Bought a new suit, hung in the closet. I got to wear it, though, within short order. Within 2 years or so, I was wearing the suit and preaching. It was a dark wool suit. And boy, you think you're perspiring up here. You ought to get in that one. The bride recognizes true servants of God, or there is no way that she's bride. All right. She has a doctrine, and the doctrine is the word without creed. That's why I tried to show you the other day, Saturday night, concerning the rapture. Brother Branham said it's a revelation, and the bride is waiting for the revelation, which means the bride has nothing at that point. That's right. You say, well, Brother Bill, I'm sure I understood this, and I'm sure I understood that. Now, look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think anybody here knew more about it than I did, and I understood nothing. And what I did understand was all wrong, so I understood nothing. My doctrine was all wrong. Now, when I first met Brother Branham, came in his presence, and we talked. I like to talk doctrine, and so we got comparing notes, and I mentioned sovereignty of God. He said, certainly, Brother Bill. And I got very happy. Now, here's a sovereign believer. I like that. And you're not a sovereign believer until you believe that God knew every flea and how many times he would bat his eye. Now, if you stumble at that, you're not bride. And he said, now, hold it, Brother Bear. You hold it. I'm telling you. You're not telling me. I'm not interested in what you've got to say because I've heard the prophet. I didn't maybe go hunting with him, but we sure had some good times together talking doctrine. So we talked doctrine, and I got a little bit excited because he was so good. And I said, finally, after saying certain things like this, that, and the other thing, I thought, I'll really test this fellow because this is too good to last. I'm going to end it right here, or it's going to blossom into a love affair. And I said, you know, Brother Branham, I just cannot believe in any eternal hell. And he said, certainly, Brother Bale, there's no eternal hell because hell was created. And I got so happy because I said, this guy's as kooky as I am. I really did. And I did it respectfully because I realized his greatness and the wonderment of the man as he sat there. Like the presence of Jesus Christ. And I was so happy, so blissfully happy to know, oh, bless God, this man that is a man, this Christian that is a Christian, this power that is a power of God, he says there's no hell. He believes in sovereignty. I love that. But then one day he took me down by the brook and he put his little fork branches for his fishing rod. And he was dabbling for fishing. I said, well, Brother Branham, I ain't no fisherman. I never was and never will be because I was born in a bald-headed prairie. I didn't have enough brains to try to fish in the bathtub. Didn't have a bathtub, hardly fishing anyway. Let alone get a bath in. That's true. For what water you got in the bald-headed prairie? Well, anyway, there wasn't any water there. And so Brother Branham, he was sitting there with me and watching the things, whatever, bob, never bob. And he said, hey, what do you think he said about that? What happened in the Garden of Eden where that command was broken, that Satan, the beast came by and got Eve to do something. And I said, well, I take it that she disobeyed the word of God. I said, there was a tree like it says, I believe, and she was not supposed to take the fruit, and she did take the fruit. He said, now, he said, Lee, my thinking, he said, and I'd like you to think about it, maybe comment. So what they did, that serpent had intercourse with her, the beast did, and they copulated, and that's how the serpent seed came, and that's how this was. And so I had not been really unfamiliar with that. I think at that time I'd already got a whole Dr. James Wise book and some things along that line. And I wasn't flabbergasted. I just said, well, I don't know that I see it that way. I said, I really don't know. To me, it wouldn't matter what it was. Now watch. It wouldn't matter what it was because, you see, to me, an act of disobedience is what it was. Yeah. But you see, then where would serpent seed come from? Where did election come from? Where did all these things come from? Now, at that time, I didn't know. So when Brother Branham got into serpent seed, I blissfully said to myself, well, that's fine. He isn't the first one that said that. And I don't think I see too much in it. And then later on, after the seals got open, I knew he was infallible.
Amen.
So I said, hey, just a minute now. Serpent seed is right. So when I decided to help him write the church age book, which I was very happy to do, he wanted me to research things. So I went through all the volumes. I got my Dr. James Wise out. I gave him a copy also. And I began researching, got magazines, this and that. And pretty soon I knew more about the subject on the surface, I guess, than he did underneath. He'd know a whole lot more. And began writing a thing up. And the more I wrote up, the more I understood that's exactly what it had to be. And there wasn't one word out of continuity. Now there are people right today who stumble over serpent seed. But the bride doesn't. Why, she says, hallelujah. I know we were all mixed up. And I guess I was more mixed up than I thought I was. But hallelujah. It doesn't matter because he is a great unmixer.
Amen.
Oh, they get insulted if you preach serpent seed. Now look down in Louisville when, after Brother Branham died. There's Joe Pine. Now, he's dead too, cancer. This might have got him. When he got on the air that day, a bunch of people brought the church aid book. And in there was serpent seed, large as life. Letters on a 34-foot billboard, the letters were 19 feet high. Just sitting there very perfect. And man, the women were mad. Oh, they were boiling. These lovely, lovely ladies. They thought that the beast was a great big 4-footer. Clonk, 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 clonk. You know. You ever see a snake with hair on it? Nude, like us, only prettier. Just the kind of man that makes any woman swoon. Don't sell it short, brother, sister. When Joe Pine got on the air, and they said, well, this book ought to be taken off the market. And they excoriated the prophet. They said he's dead now, but something ought to be done about it. If he was alive, we'd kill him. That was their attitude. The bride doesn't say things like that. I'm going to tell you something. Now, look, brother, sister. I'm not up here just for fun because I'm going to close this off after it. I'm not going to get to the point, so forget it. I'm going to tell you something. You might not know this, but I, Lee, they'll know it and will prove it if you want proof. Now, don't call my bluff, because if I prove right, you're going to pay for the trip. If it costs $10,000 and I'm right, you will pay for the trip, because I will take you over to New Zealand. I will take you to Europe. I will take you place in the world to say they believe this message. And as soon as you talk about predestination, the love affair is off. Predestination is the one thing the devil hates more than anything else, because the Roman Catholic Church hates it. And they say if anybody could surely know he's predestinated, let him be anathema. And we'll be anathematizers. Yeah. How many Roman Catholics here have the guts to raise your hand? Because if you don't believe that God knew every louse and every flea, and how many times he bat his eyeballs, you are not a believer in the sovereign doctrine of God. You're a make-believer. You getting uncomfortable? I've hardly just begun.
Amen.
2 points. She has her doctrine. She doesn't have her doctrine. How can she speak a certain way that God listens to? Now, he listened one day and he heard some folk and they were saying the sovereignty of God, and they got it just right to a point. And he said, I think I heard them make a little mistake. He said, I'll see they get the right tape to correct it. You say God wouldn't do that? You're wrong. God would do it because he's sovereign. Sure. How many times have you heard of people who are in great dire need for healing or something and just somehow almost whimsically go and pick up a tape and play it, and on that very tape come forth the prophet's voice for the very need they've got. And it's healed. Sister Marcon, the dear old saint of God, died a little while ago. Beautiful death. Sitting there with her two children. One the son-in-law, one the daughter. And she was just sitting there. About 90-some years of age. Because her husband had predeceased her many, many years. Lovely saint of God. And she was telling the kids how she appreciated them. How they were so good to her. And she was happy. And she just put her hand one on each and said, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And her head fell forward. And she was smiling, I guess. And they said, Ma's asleep. And they sat up and left Ma sleeping. He went back hours later, but Ma wasn't sleeping. She was gone. And they sent for the undertaker. And he came in and saw her. And she was sleeping. And he said, "Where is the corpse? Where is the corpse?" And he said, "I don't want to disturb Grandma Cece." He said, "But where's the corpse?" Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breath. Let me tell you about her. She had a bad throat problem. She would choke and gag it for years. And one day she took out a taper, Brother Branham, and he said, "There's a lady in the congregation here, and she chokes. There's something in her throat." And he prayed, and Sister Marconda didn't gag one more time. Bride believes doctor. She doesn't stumble. She's as crazy as I am. She lost her mind of the world and got the mind of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, he's crazy far as the world's concerned. He's an underachiever. He's everything wrong, but he's everything right. Oh, I love him tonight. He's wonderful. I just like to be in his image. I'm going to get there. Oh, wow, that's going to be great. I can't wait. Maybe that fellow's got the gun to annihilate me yet. All right. She loves the doctrine. She doesn't have creed. She doesn't have a mind of her own. She said, "That's right, that's right, that's right." I told you, that's how it goes. If you can't get rid of your own thoughts, you'll never have the thoughts of God. Now, Brother Branham told me in 1964, he said, "Lee," he said, "I want to be left alone." He said, "All my thoughts are God." And I said, "Wow. Well, if I listen to the prophet, all my thoughts are God. All her thoughts are God." And the Lord listened. And he said, "Those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts." He said, "They're more. They're my thoughts more than in one way. Because in the beginning, they were my thoughts. And now they have got my thoughts. And they're my thoughts manifested." He said, "Those are mine. I can tell them, bless God. Oh, I can see heaven rejoicing." Well, you say, "My God wouldn't do that." You ain't got the same God I got. I get excited about my God. See, I learned he loved me. I learned he cares for me. Woo, man, I'm happy. That's not emotion. That's promotion. All right, number three. Give me a few more minutes. Sunset. The hour in which we live. The appearing and the coming. She knows the hour. And Brother Branham always stressed the hour.
Right, sure
did. The epical season. There's a season every. Everybody wants bang, bang, this, bang, 1 minute, bang, that minute. Forget it. There's a season. We've had a season right now, brother, sister. The latter rain began falling in 1960. 77 years, eh? 77 years. Latter rain. What is it? What's the latter rain? Holy Ghost in manifestation. Right? Not right? Right. What is it if it's not that? The latter rain. Well, come on. God manifested in power. The word of power. What form of rain? Same Holy Ghost bringing word. Ask rain the time of rain. Now, how many Holy Ghosts are there? One. So what do you got? You got one Holy Ghost manifesting in two ways in this end time.
Right. Amen.
So you saw the Holy Ghost latter rain manifesting in people. Then you saw a man come on the scene and God doing mighty miracles. And the same Holy Ghost bringing the word of the hour. Yes, sir. The hour in which we live. The epical season. What's it for? It's a season, my brother, sister. And we have a season within a season. We're now in the season of the day of the Lord. Yep. There's a spirit that goes with it, because John was in the spirit. And Brother Bannon said, "Are you getting the spirit of everything?" He said, "Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. Go to ballgame. Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. Go to church. Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. Go to dance room. Get in the spirit. Forget it." But he said, "You can do it." And they do it. In the day of the Lord, we get a spirit on it.
Amen.
Oh, man, we can't wait for it. You say, "Brother Vail, you say that's judgment." Ah, no, forget it. That's just a minuscule part of it. I'm looking at the fact in this day of the Lord that God Himself is here to elevate His Son, to put all things under His feet, so we can go up and sit under Him, and He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
The day of the Lord, my brother, sister. The day of the judge. And He said, your bride, you're perfect. There's no blemish, there's nothing in you. She doesn't know the hour. You say you're on bride and don't know the hour? People looking down the road? People looking back? What kind of bride's that? Why? That's the kind of woman that says, "Well, I know how my husband does things, so I won't bother looking until maybe 10 weeks or 10 months from now. And if there's a knock at the door, it could be he. I don't know. The bride knows she's looking every minute. Yep. Something's going on, brother, sister. People don't know it. The bride knows what is going on. She's aware of it. Why? Because she knows who Elijah is. She knows the hour. The earmarks were presented. And when the earmarks were presented, she wasn't like those Pharisees that said, hey, how about my own sign? She said, hey, bless God, that's wonderful. Now that's too good to miss. Like Brother Ungren said, he observed. Old Mordecai Ham was in a meeting one time, Brother Brandon. We were up there in Minneapolis. He was walking around, and the Pentecosts were falling all over the place. And what weren't falling were being pushed down. So one fella came by, and he put his hand on the wound, and he pushed a bit, and I came over to her later on. She got up, and I said, just one little question, because I knew her. I said, would you mind answering me whether you were pushed down or fell down in the power of God? She said, put it this way, it's easier to fall down. So Mordecai Ham went around looking like this. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm observing. And God looked down and he observed. And he said, get those gifts off the floor and put them in room.
Amen.
He said, no more vain repetition. He said, because that's in here already. He said, what you need is a man to interpret. He said, the man turned on the light. We've got the man turned on the light. This is the man turns on the light. He said, he said, put that where it belongs. And the people said, no way. And he said, now that's not Brad. They say, Brother Bale, you're getting pretty tough. Let's get this down flat. I never wrote the book. I wasn't William Branham. I'm only here preaching it. You do what you want. You get your bride figured out. I got mine figured out. Then I'm with the prophet. He said, get in that room. Because he said, if you don't get it there, proves you're legitimate. Bride, there's an illegitimate. He said, we'll see if it's a bastard child. And it was a bastard child. You sit here and say it's right. You're a liar. The truth isn't in you. Got no more bride than nothing. And don't you come near that table for your own good. Now we're getting to nitty gritty.
Amen.
Because you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because you can't discern. You can't discern. You look and you can't put it together. And you got no right. Now listen, I am not preaching Lee Bale. I am preaching William Branham. Who's preaching the Word of God. You do what you want. You say, Brother Bale, I don't think I'll find that where you find it. That's fine. I don't suppose you will. I challenge you. I'm not afraid of you. You do what you want. All right? She understands the appearing and the coming. Now, Brother Manna made a very cute statement. It's cute in this respect that it's, you know how I don't mean it's cute like the world says cute. I think it's just so sweet and so just like a bluebird sitting in an apple tree with all those beautiful blossoms. The bluebird he doesn't sing, but he just why I just have a million bluebirds just to look at. When I get over there, I want a special corner for my bluebirds. I'm going to have them too. Like with my garden, I'll say tree move over there. I won't even have arthritis. All right. Appearing and coming. Now, there is a difference between the appearing and the coming. The appearing in this hour is the Lord appearing in signs and wonders, as Brother Branham said, and he also said, which was a sweet expression, he said he comes before he comes. I got that pretty close, didn't I? He comes before he comes. Now last night I showed you how head goes to head right, and I was right, wasn't I? Right with the Bible, was I? Was I right?
Amen.
Well, come on. Let's hear it not for Lee Bale, but for the prophet, because he said head returns to head.
Yes.
And I'd done even forgot that was what I was supposed to read. But you see, God is faithful. See, when you're dedicated to it, you're dedicated to it. Now, the appearing was amongst us in signs and wonders. And that spirit that was veiled in one instance by the pillar of fire for the prophet having revelation for us was the same spirit which was the Son of Man in spirit form performing the miracles. So that the prophet revealed the Son of Man and at the same time brought the former rain and they're together. appearing was going to bring on the coming. Now you tell that out there, and they'll say, oh, Baal's all messed up. He's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It's out of the pit of hell. Now the man said it, I didn't. Now I don't care if it's on Levi's lips or the prophet's lips. Let a man say that, he's going to have to stand in judgment. Because you see, I'm going to meet him. We're going to meet each other. You say, now, Brother Baal, hold it. You hold it. You hold it. Every word's going to be accounted for. I'm going to face him on this side or the other. And I'll also face him in this respect. Did I have love for the prophet? Do I believe the word of God? Do I stand it? Or am I just a big mouth that has enough intelligence or chutzpah or whatever it needs to be able to preach a sermon and fool you? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I'm fooling you, brother, I am fooled with you. Because I'm sorry. I don't have a double entendre tonight. I have no double meanings. I mean what I say. I preach the appearing as pertaining to the coming and differentiating because I have a discernment that I believe is of God.
Amen.
That I believe the bride has. If I don't, I'm sorry. I'll apologize and I'll pay a price. And I will have to stand before God for you having taught you wrong. Now that's what I... Then you say, look, Brother Baal, then you can't believe in God. I would have to not believe in God if I were a conniver. I'm on the spot. I take my place with Brother Branham. He said, I am on the spot. I am on the spot. And I don't intend to wiggle out. If I find I am wrong, I will have to come back and apologize for every single thing. Well, you tell me how I can be wrong when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout. And William Branham said it was his message.
Amen.
And he comes down, sets himself at the head of the church to raise the dead, and the dead aren't raised. So he's here to do. You do what you want. Appearing before coming, the bride understands that she's all not mixed up in Pentecostal goo gunk and hogwash. She knows what the prophet said. It's a revelation, which means you shut your mouth and don't talk. Listen to me. I'm telling you what it's all about. And they said, ha ha, ha ha, no, no, can't be. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I wasn't trapped. Just about I told you. I sat there and I said, well, in my heart, oh, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of things, but this is the worst I've heard yet. They can't be. And suddenly my own self said, just a minute, when was he wrong? And I said, wonderful. The shout is the message. I was on the road again. Very small detour. Detours aren't half bad if you get back in the road. God allowed detours, but not many. Watch it. The last time could be dangerous. Number four, the bride knows the true baptism. She knows it's the evidence of the word, nothing else.
Amen. Amen.
A certain preacher said, well, love was the evidence, and I corned him. Well, he said, you know, Brother Bailey, he said, I never said love was the evidence, but he lied, he did. I'll tell you the God's truth. I'm not lying to you. I got witnesses where he said it. But he said, you see, Brother Bale, I said you got to have your own evidence, and that's love. Huh? Your own evidence is love? Then that would be the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The prophet said, you're wrong. Now, how mixed up can a person be? Don't ask that question. It's infinite. That's right. It's infinite. You can strain the gnat and swallow a camel. He did. The same guy said, why, he said, if you don't see William Branham's Revelation 10 and 1, you'll never see the message. That's a lie in the pit of hell. That's deity cult. Revelation 10 and 1 is not William Branham. Revelation 10 and 7 is.
Right.
And you're on earth at the same time. If you don't believe that, you better believe it. You better get your thinking lined up. Number five. She knows the greater glory of the hour. Ha ha, under Luther was wonderful. Under Wesley the glory was greater. Coming more and more into the church. Coming more and more in clouds of glory. Under Wesley was greater still. Under Pentecost greater still. But this glory never fails. It's a Shekinah glory ripens the wheat that shines on the showbread that brings us into the community of God in resurrection immortal form as we caught away in a rapture. Oh yes, she understands the Epiphania. She knows it's a shining upon. She knows what it's all about because she knows that's how he is to the Gentiles.
Amen.
She understands the Alpha and Omega, all the principles the prophet laid down. She knows it. She understands the greater glory. The glory will never fail. When the reflection from the prophet was Christ and we were the mirrors.
Yes.
And the strange thing was these mirrors showed Christ. No longer the man. Man was out of the picture. But men strut across the stage. Puny actors on the stage of filth and degradation. and try to bunk themselves when there's somebody, as though there's somebody, when the great one's amongst us. And the prophet said, there is no great ones amongst us. The great one is here. There are no holy prophets or priests or popes. There are no presbyters and no presidents. He said, the great one, the Holy Ghost, is here. And they deny it. They deny the greater glory of this hour when headship returns. They deny that he is here. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. They deny the full measure word. As one man said, oh no, he said, it perfect hasn't come. He said, because you see, Brother Branham prophesied, and that man hasn't got enough to know that that which in part is given is part of the word. It's the first church of the Old Testament was given in part, and now in our time, it's in seven parts, and when the seven parts are here, there's no more perfection or conclusion has come. It hasn't got a thing to do with somebody prophesying. Hogwash. It has to do with the word of God. Oh, but these great Greek students, they know it all. Are you here listening?
Amen.
Some of you better listen, because you're tied up to that stuff. You're being unveiled tonight, brother. So I'm going to tell you something. You're turning a cornerstone. I'm going to preach my message. I'm not quitting. We don't need to worry about communion. It might not be wise to take it. They understand the falling away. Falling from what? Revealed truth. Our own interpretations. Not saying what he said. The presence was first brought to our attention before Brother Branham died. I couldn't figure it. I wrote the last chapter of the Church Age book because I knew that people were wrong when they said Luther didn't have the Holy Ghost. They said hogwash. There's no way he couldn't have the Holy Ghost. I went to Brother Branham, and Mr. Riley, that leads the song service of Brother Carpenter, was sitting in the room. He won't remember now, except we sat together. And he knew nothing about the message because he began butting in. That's his business. He apologized later. Told me he knew nothing. We sat there discussing this, and I said, Brother Branham, you are not saying Luther and Wesley did not have the Holy Ghost. He said, certainly not, Brother Vail. You see, we couldn't understand why he said, you Lutheran potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Wesley potentially had the Holy Ghost. And you Pentecost potentially had the Holy Ghost. When they did have the Holy Ghost. But not that way. Not the person. Because they were not the capstone. We are the crowning stone of the bride. Now listen, change one word and you're gone. Back in the Old Testament, they were going to the Promised Land. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses stood up under the power of God and he said, change one word, you're gone. At Exodus time, change one word and you're gone. Where is it? Nothing about the message because he didn't butt in. That's his business. He apologized later. Told me he knew nothing. We sat there discussing this, and I said, Brother Branham, you are not saying Luther and Wesley did not have the Holy Ghost. He said, certainly not, Brother Vail. You see, we couldn't understand why he said, you Lutheran potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Wesley potentially had the Holy Ghost. And you Pentecost potentially had the Holy Ghost. When they did have the Holy Ghost. But not that way. Not the person. Because they were not the capstone. We are the crowning stone of the bride. Now listen, change one word and you're gone. Back in the Old Testament, they were going to the Promised Land. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses stood up under the power of God and he said, change one word, you're gone. At Exodus time, change one word and you're gone. Where is it? Get that little rapture book out of there, will you? We got all night. If I'm going to wear myself, I'm wearing myself out now. Thanks. All right. We got what I want here. If I don't... All right, let's start something here. And then if this rapture which is coming to pass and anything that God has in the line of His Word... There's always something to come out to upset that if they can, it's Satan's purpose to do that. Now, what did he say that about seventh seal, right? Come on! Don't sit there like jugheads! What did he say that about besides this? You're still sitting there. I'm not Pentecostal to play games with you. I'm serious. Did he not say under the seals, if Satan gets a hold of what he is going to do, Satan always puts everything in his way to stop it. But he said, Satan will try to counterfeit, but he won't counterfeit this. You understand now? Did he say it?
Amen.
That's better. Merciful heavens, have we got a bride here tonight?
Right. Amen.
I'm not trying to scoriate you, but listen, we've been preaching this for years. I've been trying to help for years. Am I talking too fast? Am I too... What am I? I guess I'm nothing. That's it. It's Satan's purpose to do that, and he's talking about the rapture. Satan to try to kill the rapture.
Amen.
We said, I can't believe it. Well, you had better believe it. You say, well, Brother Bale, in the long run, it'll still overcome. Yes! But the same prophet said they could have had a rapture back in the first church age. They could have had a rapture down the road. Why didn't they? God had to keep delaying and delaying and delaying, but he could have accelerated. Or could he? Leave the questions alone. Let's read the prophet. Now he said Satan tries to upset it. He said then if this rapture should come into pass, and anything that God has in line, these words, and that's a rapture, all with something to come out to upset that if they can. Now listen, brother, sister. Don't you know that it was prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, right? Now, the wise men came, and they said, where is he born, King of the Jews? Where is he born, King of the Jews? And Herod said, I beg your pardon, what did you say? Oh, who are you? I am King Herod, and I know all the answers. And if I don't, I've got a wonderful staff that'll tell you. What did you want to know? Where is the king to be born? Oh, he said, I don't know, but those Pharisees down there in the Sanhedrin, they do know. Oh, come on, boys. Hey, you know the scripture, although I know a bit too. You really know scripture. Tell me, where is he born? They said, Bethlehem. Oh, they said, well, go there. And he said, now, before you go, he said, if you find him, let me know, and I'll come and worship him. Wanted to kill him. Now, do you believe the Bible? Now, do you believe the prophet? Huh? Do you believe? I am going to go Pentecost to get a rise out of you. I'm going to start screaming and running. Girls, get on the music. Dave, play us a polka. Now, I'm being sarcastic on purpose because I'm on to you. And I'm not happy as much as I could be. But Paul said, you make me unhappy. And when you make me unhappy, I make you unhappy. Let us both be happy. Now, look it. You'd be nice now. Now, look it. He said, flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. Upon this rock I'll build my church, the revelation of the word in its season. Ha ha! The revelation of the word in its season, and it is rapture season. What is the word of the season on the rapture? Because God built a church on it! Huh? 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 Oh, you're dead tonight. Or either you're really listening. Are you really listening?
Amen.
Ah, lovely. Now I work in harmony. It's okay. You fooled me. Now I really love you. I'll be good from now on. All right? You hope. Now, when a germ comes into the womb of a female, it don't take on. You don't become a human germ from your father. Next thing become a germ of a dog. Next thing from a cat. Next thing a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body. He was the word, and the bride will have to be the word. Word added to word, added to word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal, Baptist, Holy Ghost, restoration gift, and William Branham's prophecy on the rapture. Well, you'll get me holy rolling. I've been a holy jumper. And all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be word on top of word, germ on top of germ. In other words, that word has got to come to life. This is an hour. He's here to raise the dead and change you and me. What are you looking for?
Hallelujah.
Come on. That's what the bride believes. That's the day of the Lord. She's excited. She's excitable. She's not demotional, she's emotional, which is promotional in the sight of God. Now, word on top of word, life on top of life, to bring out the full stature of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. 24, page 115. Now, the life that come up through Luther was what made Wesley. The life that came out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. The light that comes out of Pentecost makes the way. That's us. Because word on word. Season on season. Time on time. We're here. The bride knows it. She says, I'm weak. And the bride looks down and he said, that bride of mine. Why, he said, even her stomach looks like a great big pile of weeds, he said. He said, I don't think I like Bible pictures. You old hypocrite, you like pornography. I'm slamming hard. I don't mean to be, but you got to forgive me. So look, I'm human. I know the answers. As a human being. I'm going to tell you, man loves the pornography of man, but they don't love the pornography of God. Pardon the expression. But William Branham said, your justification, your sanctification, your baptism was in three orders. One is the embrace, one is the kiss, and one is impregnation. You do what you want.
Yeah. Amen.
But you're too nice for a prophet even. Or are you? I wish you'd have known the prophet. I admired William Branham above anything in this world because he was a real man. And I said, there goes a millennial man. If he don't make it, nobody does in my books. How could they? But they are a carrier, see? The real life goes through there. The message goes through, but it's heading up into the wheat. The message brings on wheat, see? That's the reason the wheat comes up and brings the whole thing in a rapture up here at the top. The bride itself comes out of each age, but the denominational stock dies, dries up and dies. Now that's enough reading of that. Just wrote that down for little edification. She knows the glory of the hour. Listen, brothers, that's what thrills me. There's nothing thrills me like I'm talking about now to know the glory of the hour. You say, Brother Dale, how do you know? Look, I don't know myself. It's just like you're looking out there, and there's no wall there anymore. Now, I'm not seeing something. Believe me, I'm not a seer. I'm not seeing something. But in my mind, there's something out there. The curtain of time is hanging right there within a few feet of us, and right there, something is shaping. And I see Abraham on the plains of Mamre.
Yeah.
I see him lift up his eyes with his sacrifice, seeing the city afar off.
Yeah.
And I view the mountaintops with him, and I say, Abraham, I'm coming with you. Yeah. You say, Brother Dale, you're so cruddy. How are you going to do it? I ain't going to do it. He's going to do it for me. Remember, I'm the beggar on the dung heap. You're the nice people on the mountaintop. Yeah, the falling away. Greater glory falling away. She knows they're falling away from the Word. She knows the people aren't going to believe it. We know that the bride, that the false bride is not going to believe the appearing, the coming. She's not going to believe all those things. That's the falling away. She said, I believe the prophet. She came and saw what he could do and said, that's the prophet. That's a great man. That's this, that's that. She's like the fellow that said, well, I tell you, I believe John the Baptist was Elijah. But I'll say this. He said, if I was to judge today and take my vote on anybody that could be Elijah, I'd vote for Brother Branham. Who I'd need vote? Why didn't he vote? Because he didn't believe. No, there's too much in Pentecost for him to believe. He'd seen too much himself. He believed in women preachers. That'll make you believe anything. Because they'll make you believe anything. Number 7. They can tell who is righteous and who is unrighteous. Because they know righteousness from unrighteousness. Well, I'll let that one go. I preach whole sermons on that. Number 8. She knows the call. To discern what is hers in the last hour. She knows what is hers. Like God spoke to my heart, indelibly. And he said, I don't want you looking out there in anything in the world.
Amen.
Never mind what's going on. Don't look at the world church. Forget it. He said, just see what's for the bride.
Amen.
What's for the bride is the word, the promise of God in this hour.
Amen.
She only knows the word of life. She doesn't know anything else. She understands the baptism. She understands the gifts. She knows everything in this hour. Because she can discern. You see, we're at the point of discerning, of separating, of knowing.
Amen.
You say, Brother Vail, I don't think we should. Well, don't bother. I advise you not to. You put yourself in a very critical position, and everybody throws spitballs at you. And then you want to shoot you down because you're the devil. That'd be the nicest one of all. Spitballs are more aggravating. And lies just make me boil. If you want to get lied about, just stand with me. I kid you not. I'm not boasting, I'm telling you the truth. Everything I say is twisted. Why bother twisting what I say? on the twist of what somebody else did. You know what? Because Brother Brennan said, you're just like me. I said, what way? He said, I got a little gift of healing, nobody wants it. You got a little gift of teaching, nobody wants it. You see, I don't believe the prophet said it. You don't have to believe nothing. There's enough that I believe it. I don't care what anybody believes. No way. Except I do care in a certain way. Kind of rough on you. All right, number 9. She knows Sodom and Gomorrah, placing them correctly with the two witnesses, Roberts and Graham. And she knows that once more the preaching of the cross blinds. Yeah. Because they're preaching the cross. He said, Brother Bill, shouldn't we all preach the cross? Yes. But you better preach what goes with it.
Amen.
Because the blood doesn't suffice without the light.
Amen.
I've preached on this so many times, I'm not tired of preaching, but you might be tired of hearing me say it. But it won't hurt you one more time, because this could be the last time. This could be the day of your Jubilee. You understand Jubilee is past. It's 1933. This is 83. June the 11th of 1933, when the angel first appeared on the river. This is 1983, Jubilee.
Amen.
Oh, I hope it's mine. I don't know about you, but I hope it's mine. You hope for yourself. Now, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish everlasting life. For God sent not His Son the world to condemn the world, but through the world through Him might believe be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, and this is that condemnation. Here he went off. Now it says, first of all, he died that nobody gets condemned. And it turns around and says, well, he does get condemned. Why does he get condemned? Because he doesn't believe. Now, what do you mean about don't believe him? Here's the answer. This is a condemnation that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the Bible says he comes as a light moving. When they turned down the light at the end time, they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. Now the bride doesn't do that. Because you see, she understands. She understands what's going on. She looks around and she's not confused by the charismatics. She knows that, see? She's not confused by anything. Why, she goes to Hebrews 6 and she said, don't you know, dear, that a great prophet, William Branham, was in the land, and he had a vision of a sower going forth to sow, and he was in white, and another sower followed him, and he was in black. And they said, well, that's just a minute. Oh, she said, no, I haven't finished yet. She said, don't you know that doesn't refer to Matthew, the 13th chapter, but it refers to Hebrews 6. How many know that? The bride should know that. She should know her Bible. She should know the conditions. She should know the hour. Brother Branham's vision was Hebrews 6, not Matthew 13. Because in Matthew 13, there wasn't the burning of the tares as there is over here. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, perfection hadn't come. Leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let's go to conclusion. Let's go to the end, he said. We've covered it all. Now the doctrine is this. What do you do? Okay? Not laying a foundation of repentance and dead works. Faith toward God. Doctrine of baptism. Laying on of hands. A resurrection of dead. He turns to, why, man alive? If you leave all that, aren't you left a dollar? But one thing, what's that? Oh, let us go to perfection. If God permit. What is this perfection you're talking about? Well, he said the end time is perfection when everything is closed up. Now, at the end time, it will be impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, partook of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, no more church ages. It's over. Nobody else will come in. The bride knows that. The bride knows the closing hour. A lot of the bride went really screwball. When Brother Branham preached the seal, they said, it's all over. There's nobody going to get saved. So the question came up and they said, Brother Branham, please, did you say that we don't need to bother about the souls that are out there unsaved? Is it all over? And he said, my, what gave you that idea? Did I say something? He sure did. We thoroughly misunderstood. But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe you saying that. And he said, no, win all the souls you can. Because they misunderstood. When the Lamb rose for the last time, and smoke filled the temple, the 144,000 ran. The bride knows a few things. She knows about Sodom. She knows about Gomorrah. She understands the presence of Christ, the presence of Elijah. She understands Hebrews 6. She knows it's burning time. Now they're bragging on burning time. What does she do? Does she stand back and she say, oh Lord, don't let it burn? Well, you say, well, she should. No, I'm not going to say she should. I'm going to say she should have this attitude, that she's sorry that somebody is going to pay a price. And she wishes they wouldn't. But she knows it's not in her hands. And the one who's going to do it is just and wonderful and marvelous, and she can trust him.
Amen.
And she knows when the prophet said, I don't pray for America.
Amen.
You mean no more businessmen breakfast to pray for America? Not that way. Because America's gone. Pray for souls, individuals, but forget the nation, she's gone. Forget the church up there, she's gone. Pray for your loved ones. Put the blood and the token on the door. Watch unto life. For death stalks the land. She knows it. Yes, sir. And she knows it's ready for the burning. She knows it's all over. The rain that fell often. 7 church ages. There's got to be a burning. And when the burning's there, she knows that he is there with the fan in his hand, separating for the burning. And the one that's separating now, the judge, is gathering the wheat to the garner. We'll one day bring the dead out of the ground, and all wheat will stand there, and we'll be changed, and he'll take us up, and the same one will drop his fan and turn to the burning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the judge becomes the executioner, the executor. The bride knows those things. And she says, Lord, it's the last hour. I'm going to send the last call, because you said the spirit and the bride say, come. And she joins with the spirit that joined in the prophet and said, come out of her, my people. And she keeps looking and looking for those souls, but she knows one day the last one's in and child train, and this is that hour. Oh yes, brother, sister. She doesn't worry. She said the children are safe. The prophet said something. I'm going to tell you something. In Egypt, the last plague was spiritual death and physical death. Those little babies died. You say, Brother Baylor, my child isn't ready for the rapture. It could be, I don't know. Say, what about my children? I don't know. But I know a merciful and just God told a preacher, a prophet, to tell you, apply the token and claim your children.
Amen.
If your children go home by way of death, it won't matter.
Amen.
That plague struck Egypt. What happened? They just died, popped off. We just went off like flies. Now that sounds pretty gross. It sounds like my hard-hearted person. I am not, my brother, sister. Let me tell you, when you get old and your body gets full of pain, and you can be young in your body full of pain, and you can pray for death. Death is a wonderful way to leave this world. It's nice to get out of here. Don't you kid yourself that there's a God that's unjust. You let your bride gives God credit and gives him glory. Yes, sir, she assembles in his name. She knows his name. And when she meets in his name, she is not of those who think that they meet in his name because they say Jesus' name. She meets in his name because she has his name. She knows that she's Mrs. Jesus. Yeah, she knows that. Sure she does. She assembles with no creeds and no dogmas. She is a bride. She knows all else dissembles, and she stands there with the word. Number 11, time to discern that though it is the time for Sodom, for fire and for flood, there is a great day here, a greater day here, or greater one here. For the same Elohim that spoke to Abraham, the righteous judge, is here, and sentence and verdict is in our favor, as in Genesis 19 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9, where it says you're not ordained under wrath. And she knows that she will not have applied to her the wrath. She does not go through the great tribulation. She knows that she escapes because she knows there's Mount Ebal pronouncing curses, but there's Mount Gerizim that utters one word of blessing, and all the curses fall down. It took one Jesus to come and destroy every power of hell. Oh yes, brother, sister, she knows that though trouble is here, she knows that he is here to get us out of our trouble. She knows that we'll escape the great tribulation. She knows that God loves her, that she's bound to him, and he will not chastise her. He'll merely get her all ready to go in the rapture. Yeah. Not only that, it is time to know, and she knows it is time to know, to discern who the true and living God is and be baptized correctly. Yes, she knows him. She knows the great revelation hour. She knows who he is to be baptized in his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows what it stands for. I'm just glancing through this quickly. She knows that the time of the reign, of the former reign and the latter reign, is falling together.
Amen.
She knows the mystery of the rapture. She knows all of these things. Yes, sir. We could go on. You know that we could go on. But my point is this. All these qualifications of discernment are at this hour in this bride and show she is worthy of the table of the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory.
You've been negative all along. You thought your cigarettes meant something. Lay them down. There was a plug niggle. Lay your lives down, your conning down. Lay all the junk you've had around you, all this. Kick out your television set. Get out all this junk you've had in your house. Clean house. Don't turn around and start it up again. My brother and my sister, we've got a greater glory. The table of the Lord tonight means something. There's nothing in our church that doesn't mean more and more. I preach on water baptism. They're about ready to get baptized over again. That's right. I don't know. I talk to my people. I talk about the Lord's Supper. Why, this they just can't wait to enter it, as it were.
Amen.
It begins to glow. Why? Because life is here. And death is going out. Brother, sister, let's understand. You see why I'm excited? Something to be excited about. I'm in the day of the Lord. I've caught the Spirit. I don't have any cancer spirit. Got a spirit of life. Yes, sir. That's the point. 14, 15 points against one of cleaning your life up, your conduct. And then people say this great thing to come is character. I went to Brother Branham, and I said, oh, Brother Branham, the great thing coming, because I've always longed for some super-duper character. Well, I'm a super-duper character, all right. Already had and didn't know it. Talk about dumb ignoramuses. Sheep. You're looking at the prize lot. You're not looking at a horse in that condition. You're looking at a mule. I guess they call it a jackass. I don't know. Yeah. I said that great thing coming is character. And he got in the pulpit. He said a great theologian talked to me the other day. You notice the great theologian. Why don't you bow down? Gotcha. I love them little goodies. The great theologian. Why are you laughing? I never so solid in my life. I'm laughing with you. Because I know you're not laughing at me, you're laughing with me. That's it, the great theologian. So I theologed. And I logged up. What he said, this great theologian, he came to me and he said, Brother Branham, he said, that great thing is going to be character. He said, not going to be character. I thought, well, now that's the best thing in all the world. I'm going to have that great character. Well, as I said, I didn't know already was a character. But I should have had more like his. I know that, more fruit the whole bit. But he said, that wasn't it. Now look, that's one point. But all this other stands there. Now, kind old priest, would you like to come? But don't with me. Not that you shouldn't be kind. But you see, when you come on your kindness.
Right. Amen.
Because you make me sick. Because you ain't gotten up not near what the prophet had, and he couldn't make it that way.
Right. Amen.
There's only one person had character to take him through, that was Jesus the Christ.
Right.
And he wasn't a man in the full sense of the word, no way, shape, or form. No, he's Superman. God was his father in a way God wasn't a father to anybody else. None of us was that Logos that was made flesh. Through the series and down through the ages, we were a mere minuscule of a minuscule of a minuscule.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. We were like a thought. He was the mind. Ha.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So he had the character. He had everything. But he's given a bride the ability to discern. Now, just a minute. Let me tell you. Anybody knows that chewing gum is not smoking cigarettes. So you see a guy go, puff, puff. What discernment do you need? Now, Brother Branham said, that doesn't take any discernment. He said, don't you know that cigarettes spoil your body, so you're not discerning your body? But this requires different discernment. Anybody knows you shouldn't be out there committing adultery. You know that. Anybody knows it.
Amen.
Well, except your brute beast. And I guess the world's 99% of them. See, they gotta be. Look what's in your newspapers every day. Look, if you don't want to get out of here, brother, sister, there's something wrong.
Amen. Amen.
You'll drown in the sewer of filth.
That's right. Amen.
Sure, terrible condition. Anybody knows you shouldn't steal. Look at the con artists amongst the preachers. I got a good sister sitting here tonight. Certain man came to a certain city where she was, And he, after he got so eloquent about him, you know, needing money, she sold her house and gave him the dough. And I could tell that sister, she already told her, that when I went out to Arizona, the guy just piddled it away. You talk to my good buddy, Don Hoggenberry. He'll tell you how they went out there, and the guy just brought in the money by the bucket load, and spent money, and lost it, and spent it. He devoured widows' inheritances. Anybody sends out tracts for money, pulls deals. You don't need discernment. You've got to be stupid. You'll never get discernment. Because the Bible said if you can't discern that, you won't discern this. Preach it is right. And I'm not trying to be tough and mercy. I'm preaching the Bible. Well, come on. See? The guy pulls deals. Corners. Messes with women. Smokes and drinks. What discernment do you need? Now, if you don't know that's wrong, come on. Your conscience is seared. You're a beast. You're a brute. Serpent seed. You've got to be. Or you've got to be something in between that has lost its mind. You've got to be physically dominated by the devil. Plus spiritually. Plus you're undone. You're finished. Forget it. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody knows that. But you come to the other brother, sister. You better have the Spirit of God. You better know which way you're going. Now, I've just barely done the best I could for things. And the table of the Lord is open. Now, you've got two prayers to pray tonight with all your heart. And whether we feel like meaning or not, this is the hour to mean it. God, either you deliver me or I deliver myself from these sins because I lay them down. Which means simply this, if you don't make it easy for me to quit, I will quit, no matter how hard it is, but I'm finished. Now the next thing is all you can do is pray and keep your ears open toward God and believe as you hear the prophet, not leave here but the prophet. And you say, Lord, the other discerning the body lies in your hands, and unless I am spiritually motivated, unless you help me, and you better mean it, because you have, there's nothing you can do but mean it, because you cannot give yourself a revelation. There's no way you can do it. You have got to come through the prophet, hopefully the Holy Spirit in you. And you say, Lord, the word of the season has been opened by the prophet. All other is finished. Give me this day my daily bread. The day of your appearing, the day of your coming, the day of the Lord. Give me the bread of revelation of this hour, O God, as it came through the prophet. There's nothing else you can do. Stand back and wait. That entitles you to stand up and preach your sermon. He died. He died. He died. And I'm living because he died. See, every time you preach that sermon. Yeah, you follow me? Little different tonight. I'm not trying to set a pattern. I'm not trying to make a name or anything. I'm just trying to do what I believe is right. Preaching what I believe is right to preach.
Amen.
That's all I know. Now, by the grace of God, I don't know when I'll preach again. Ever to a group like this, I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to ever do it again. I'm getting tired. He gave me strength. I appreciate it. He kept my voice, I think, more by prayer than by pills. I took both. Because I was determined to try to help if I could. I have not hurt you wantingly or willfully. Because I'm not interested in hurting any single one person here. Because no one person entered my mind before God that is true. If I had a fleeting thought, it went out of my mind instantly. That wouldn't even be a fleeting thought. But I'm just trying to say the things that I believe to be true that the prophet said, discerning the Lord's body, knowing who is bride. Not trying to pick them out and say, hey, I can tell by a look, I can tell by a feeling, there is something electric. No! But we going by the word, judging ourselves and say, hey, do I believe this? Do I believe this? Do I believe this? Do I believe this? Do I believe what the prophet said? Is this what he said about discerning the body? I believe it. Hallelujah.
I'm walking down the highway of faith. Come on, brother, sister. What are you waiting for? Waiting for the resurrection to be too late to get your faith up. I'm walking in the shout. I'm going to tell you something. The word shout in the Greek is plousma, which is military command. Where it said he making all things subject. That is also military, an order and a rank. I'm getting in marching order tonight, brother, sister. Yes, I am. That marching order is the real word of God. And I say, I'm bride, I'm marching to Zion. Ha-ha, just a minute. I'm marching Zion, not marching to Zion. I am marching Zion. Hallelujah. Ha-ha. Hey, you say, old Bale, you believe that? Well, what do you think? Go ahead and say, he ain't fit for nothing. How will he beat you to the punch? Go ahead and say, his language is so contemptible. They said Paul the same thing. Only he stuttered and muttered. Mine doesn't come out that way. I don't stutter, I don't mutter, I just blast. So I'm not much like Paul after all. No, I wish I was, but I'm not. They say what you want. I'm not here to defend myself and cause a fight with anybody. I want you to know I have taken a stand. I believe what I preach, or I wouldn't preach it. I'm settled in my heart tonight that this is it. I'm also going to tell you I am hopeless, because if this isn't it, I can't do anything anyway. I'm too run down at the heels to try. I've tried long enough to twist God's arm. It doesn't twist. No. Begging won't do. Believing will. If I'm believing right, I've got it made. If I'm believing wrong, so I'm wrong. I can't help it. See, I'm a sovereign believer. If I'm going to say this, if I believe this, I can't be wrong. So I'm looking beyond the curtain of time, just past that wall, as it were. Once more, I see the plains of Mamre. Oh, Father Abraham, I see that great pyramid begin to shape. And I know there's a kingdom of God called the city Zion, coming up out of this earth as mortal glorified members.
Hallelujah.
To come back again on a reconstituted earth. I see the blood upon the ground sanctifying these members. I see the Holy Spirit formed within me, baptizing me to call back every cell in a new form. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brother, sister, let me tell you flat, somebody's got to see it, and I'm going to be that one.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You love them tonight?
Yes.
I love them with all my, I don't have much of a heart, but what it is, this is. I think most, every part of me shot, but if he'd like that, he can have it too. In fact, I've been trying to give it to him to get it out of the way. But if he lets me live, I'll tell you something. I want to live for a greater glory. I want to see the revelation of His beauty more and more.
Amen.
I want to see more and more Him in His splendor. I want to see Him form more and more in human forms. I want to see Christ in bride form. I believe we're seeing it. People say, that can't be it. That can't be it. They're wrong. That's what it is. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful You allowed us to assemble ourselves. And Lord, speaking for myself, I sure appreciate this people, though they might not think that I do. For they've given me privilege of speaking my heart and giving me the privilege of You helping me in notes here that I couldn't understand myself literally after I read them and wonder what I was going to do with them. And I appreciate the people for that, because they did it. And I love them, Lord, and I wouldn't want to see one harmed, and I believe tonight, Lord, with all my heart, and I'm believing for them. There won't be one person here that's not a part of the gems in Your crown. That there's not one person here that's not speaking one to the other, and You're listening, and You're saying, that's exactly right, that's my child. I know. Their heart and the Word is just one, and they live it too. Thoroughgoing Christians. Lord, it's so wonderful to know the intimacy of us with each other and with You, and we're one with every single bride. It's marvelous, Lord, to know that that everything is just exactly right, because with you, everything is exactly right. Everything is on time. It's just marvelous, Lord, in this hour. I believe, Lord, with all my heart, that as we take the communion tonight, as we've learned to call it, this table of the Lord, this Lord's Supper, I believe something is going to happen in the sense of a reality of revelation within us. As never before, that there isn't one single thing that is ever asked or ever done that does not bring its reward, because it does. Anything in the name of Jesus is absolutely going to have the growth of Jesus on it. Not just a stamp of approval, because many persons could put a stamp of approval on it. But this is the seal of the Holy Spirit burgeoning and blossoming forth in a reality that makes us to know as we have never known, and partake with a realization as we have never realized, and a faith which has never been expounded in us to manifest. Lord, we're looking because we can't believe that anything is void. That every single thing of God magnifies and magnifies to the perfect day. Lord, we're going to take it tonight in faith. I don't know how we're going to do it, but Lord, somehow you're going to help us. Because it's your faith, it's your revelation, it's not mine anymore. And it's not theirs anymore, it's yours. And so tonight, Lord, we're going to take in grace, by grace, in thoughts of God upon our hearts and minds, these emblems. And as we do, it's going to be in your faith, Lord, of revelation, that greater is He in us that's in the world, and we have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And from now on, there will be a burgeoning of character and fruit and humility and all those graces, Lord, that you have said in your word, because that's the way it should be. And also, and on top of that, the revelation and the discerning of that knowing. Oh, Lord, which the prophet laid out so simple, because he laid it out like you did. And here we're going to be tonight in the faith of God and begin to climb Jacob's ladder as never before, to see ourselves mounting up on that pyramid. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, we know, as we've never known before. And we shall know more than we never known before. And Lord, I believe tonight. I'm not psyching myself, Lord. You know my heart is earnest. I have looked to you, Lord, for your word. You have never failed me. In fact, Lord, I have got to confess that I am just a stupid type of a person. I ain't worth nothing. I feel like Brother Branham when he messed things up that time in that fishing vision. Lord, if he was stupid, well, I don't know what you would call me. I got a good idea what I should be called. And I admit to it, Lord, I admit to it. But I am still walking by faith that you love me and I am a part. And if you've got to bop me down, Lord, and tie me up and throw me overboard like a Jonah and let a big fish get me, Lord God, amen and amen. Because my eyes are upon you. And Lord, I know that that's just not the way it's going to be. But Lord, let me be wise enough to know what you want it to be. So when these things come to refine, I'll just be in step with you. And I'm praying this for every single person in this building, not just for myself, lest they think I am selfish in wanting their prayers. I am praying for them too, Lord. And I believe that my faith is at that point where it's working. And I know it is, because I know how you work. I know how you work, and you do just that. And I am very grateful for it. And I'm in anticipation now. And in anticipation of faith, stimulation, a revelation. I thank thee, O God, how great thou art. Amen. Brother Ungren, start singing it. How great thou art. Soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, cleansing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how
my soul. Now let your soul sing it, mean it. Let it come from the soul.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
Then sing my soul.
Bless you. Brother, sister, I feel tonight, I can't say this as any prophet. I ain't no prophet. But going by my feelings, by my discernment, I believe this meeting was entirely ordained of God.
Amen.
And He fulfilled what I felt He would fulfill. One step closer to the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
If anybody could say that, that's right, I'm anybody and I said it. Yep. You see, I believe. Yeah, I believe. See, I can afford to believe because, you see, He's the God of mercy and I need mercy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's a God of grace and, brother, I need grace.
Amen.
See, people aren't kidding when they run me down. That's okay. No problem. They're right. But I got a God.
Amen.
Who justifies the ungodly.
Amen.
Where the blood scatters sin, there's no trace. And He said, well, now, you can say what you want, but there ain't no evidence. Yeah. That's right. You love Him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Makes you feel good. Praise the Lord. Now listen. We got some brethren going to come forward. You know who you are, don't you? You got them? Good. Will they come forward, please, to serve? Now, if you ever took the table, Lord, tonight, you ought to have faith. My, if you believe what the prophet lined up, and I said what the prophet said, now believe me, I wasn't lying to you. I copied that all down as I read certain sermons, just zip, zip, zip. One special sermon just zips right through. Just broke one point after the other. I wanted to preach a series. Now, I lost my series. You better pray I'll get something else in the Lord. They all here? That's fine. That's very good. I just need somebody else up here. How about you tell them how you want it done?
Okay.
That's fine? Okay, you do that. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just unveil the emblems, if you don't mind, please. And we're going to pray. And then I would like, now, Brother Ungren, if you don't mind, we'll have you lead some songs up here for us. And now, listen, will the... Now, Betty, you're going to play for us? Okay, then, will Sister Betty and Brother Ungren, would you please come up and take communion first? And you just stand here while we pray, and then I want you to take it first so you can stand up here and sing, and Betty, you can play. All right? Will you come on then? The two of you first, all right? We'll just wait till they get there. We'll be real reverent now so we can pray. All right, you're at this table. She's at that. All right, Heavenly Father, these emblems. Oh, God, we just don't know what to say. Just don't know what to say, Lord. So wonderful you should die. Rise again for us, Lord, and leave emblems that signify a reality, God. We know it's not word and spirit. We know it's not flesh and blood. We know it's emblems, Lord. And here we are. And Lord, I think it's because we're just one step from something that says, could be the next time it's over there we take it together. God, I know we're taking it tonight as Melchizedek. But Lord, to take it together, we're looking for that. Father, you've already blessed us. It's not redundant to ask for more blessing. We just thank you for continuing blessings. And the melting and molding and melding of our souls to you and to each other, a oneness, Lord. A real love coming into the church that's a word love. A discerning love. It's a reality, Lord. We're looking for that. We believe we've got it. We believe that's why we're here. Sanctify every single person tonight that comes. From this moment on, Lord, we believe the heat of the battle's over. This is the communion after the battle's over. Somehow, Lord, we got to believe that there's victory for everybody that's distraught, that's got a problem. And Lord, there's a revelation that is there for us tonight. Father God, I just ask you to bless now and continue to bless as the people come in obedience to your word. Oh God, we're believing that you magnify it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just please serve the two of them, then the rest of you can start coming from the back. This gives them a chance to get back to the organ and come up here. We'll just sing as we go along.